welcome everyone to the Senate Special Committee on Transportation Economic Development Subcommittee, whatever. And we have two items on the work session today that are critical to saving the universe as we know it. And we'll do those in work session only. And we'll turn it over to staff, starting with House Bill 2112 relating to traffic safety education.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Senate House Bill 2112A increases the amount reimbursed to public schools and facilities offering courses in traffic safety education, imposes on facilities the same tuition and procedural requirements imposed on public schools, and declares an emergency effective July 1, 2005. You have a staff measure summary that describes what it, where the money comes from. It's an existing fee off of the issuance or renewal of driver's licenses that has been accumulating in the Department of Transportation Department's funds. The it increases the amount from 150 to 210. That would have a fiscal impact of $670,740 in 2005-07 and $1.3 million in 07-09, and that number can fluctuate depending upon the number of reimbursements the schools request based on the number of students who are enrolled in the program. And the department has sufficient limitation in their budget to manage the increased cost, and so we don't need to amend the bill to give an expenditure limitation.
Questions? Senator Johnson, excuse me.
I simply don't understand the purpose of doing this. It would require public schools and facilities offering the course to adopt procedures for reduced or waived tuition for low-income pupils and admission policies for pupils from neighboring public schools. This is a charge program now?
Staff.
Mr. Chair, Senator Johnson, it is... it has three different ways of being funded. It is the amount of money that the agency provides schools to reimburse them for some of their costs is capped currently at $150. Any cost that the schools or private aid entities have would be either captured from payment of fees by the students or the students' parents and school districts who are making up those costs. And I believe that currently private providers aren't reimbursed. This not only schools are. Is that correct? Yeah.
So the whole purpose of... Follow up, Mr. Chair.
Yes, please.
The whole purpose of this, then, is to incentivize driver education?
That's how I would look at that, yes, Senator. Maybe the department could answer for us. Welcome.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Troy Costales, manager of the Transportation Safety Division for the Oregon Department of Transportation. If I can, to Senator Johnson's first question, in relationship to the funding reimbursed from ODOT to the schools, schools are not allowed to turn a profit on providing driver education. And so if they're charged to the parents and their local general fund covers the cost of providing the program, then the department does not reimburse them. There's only one school district in the state doing that. What this will do is offset for the local schools the money that they're taking out of their local general fund. It will lower the potential charge to the parents. It will also provide for them, the schools, the ability to cover low-income or no-income families, which right now they have a hard time doing without using their local general fund from the schools. Private companies do get into this program because there are quite a few public schools that contract with private companies to do this work, and so indirectly private firms are employed under this. And yes, to your second question, this is to incentivize the program. It is not a mandatory program in the state. So community colleges, educational service districts, and school districts are allowed to bring in students from outside their boundaries because there are about 100 out of the 150 school districts that are offering the program. So the law allows them to reach outside their boundaries for parents that want their kids to take driver training.
One more follow-up, Mr. Chair.
Please.
Having not had any children that participated in driver training, is there a break for these young people that take driver's ed, an insurance acknowledgement that they have taken some kind of formalized curriculum?
Mr. Chair, and Senator Johnson. Yes, in two parts. In the state of Oregon, individual insurance companies can choose at their own whether or not to offer various insurance breaks, such as good student grades, as well as taking driver training. The insurance companies that have seen the ODOT standard, that qualifies for lower discounts. The other to point out is recently we had a national study on Oregon for kids taking the revised driver training program, and three things to report. First, kids that are taking the driver training versus all of it from their parents are seeing a dramatic reduction in the number of crashes they're involved with. They have a lower rate of traffic convictions and a lower rate of suspensions. So in turn, that also impacts their insurance because they're not getting into trouble with crashes or getting tickets.
And they didn't have the adult trauma later in life of having their father scream at them about how to use a clutch. I imagine that psychological benefit is immeasurable.
Senator, my son's turning 15 in 4 weeks, and so we're already going through some of that.
All my kids are gone. Thank you very much. Senator Moore.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The fee was raised in 1983, or it was created a $2 fee, and then in 99 it was increased to $6. What this bill does is just increase the reimbursement allowable, which would look to me like that it would allow it to draw down on that what looks to be a pretty large cash balance.
That's correct.
Of $7.6 million. Looking at the expected annual revenues and the current reimbursements of $2.9 million estimated annual revenue versus $2.4 million current reimbursements. What we would then be doing probably is setting in motion the mechanisms to have to raise the fee at some point in the future, either that or reduce the reimbursement. And I guess my question to staff would be, have you done any projections to see how long that these reserves will last?
Mr. Chair, Senator Morse, actually I did. And my analysis showed that it would be about 10 years before you'd have to either reduce the fee or increase the fee to continue serving at this rate, at the higher rate, I'm sorry, with a small percentage increase of students participating to that time.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Further discussion?
Well, Mr. Chair, if I could use two spectrums of the English language here. Yeah, the first would be, duh, no-brainer. The second would be that Senator Johnson, in her ever obfuscating way, has once again succeeded in obscuring the obvious, indeed clouding the clear. We appreciate the enunciation of doubt that you have expressed regarding this fine piece of legislation, Senator Johnson.
I learned from a master.
I am a strong yes on this bill, especially since it appears Senator Johnson has reservations, Mr. Chair.
I suspect she is a strong supporter, too, just getting good information. Appreciate the opportunity to get that. Any further discussion? Any objections to this bill? Seeing none? So ordered.
Period.
Senator Johnson.
Yeah.
House Bill 2537 relating to economic development, particularly North Bend Airport.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you, yeah. Mr. Chair, members of the committee. This bill replaces the original bill and combines Senate Bill 152A and Senate Bill 680A into one bill. It authorizes the state treasurer to issue lottery bonds in the amount of $6 million for payment of grants to Coos County Airport District related to construction of passenger terminal facility at North Bend Airport. Actually, $10 million, I thought.
It is
six and four. $6 million in November of 2000. I have to go back to the fiscal here for that. $6 million in January of 2007 and then $4 million in January of 2008. It also makes specific legislative findings regarding the necessity of the improvements to the North Bend Airport. And the second part of it is requiring the Department of Aviation to establish pilot programs at up to three rural airports, including the Aurora State Airport, to encourage the development through the fence operations designed to promote economic development in selected communities. And in your staff measure summary, it defines the what a through the fence operation is. There is a fiscal impact on this. As I explained to you when we had Senate Bill 152A before us, the lottery-backed bonds and debt service is not included in either the House or the Senate budget plan and will have to be accommodated as you move forward in your negotiations. And the Department of Aviation will need a small increase in their expenditure limitation to implement this program.
Discussion? Senator Johnson?
Mr. Chair, with your permission, I might just put a slightly finer point on through the fence. It's a rather it's a term unique to the aviation world. In the past, the FAA, the Federal Aviation Administration, has given guidance to airport sponsors that all property in and around an airport should be 100% controlled by the airport sponsor. In many cases, the airport sponsor has not had the financial wherewithal or the staff capability to go ahead and solicit and develop development at the airport. This is a voluntary pilot program that would allow the Department of Aviation to receive proposals from two other airports in addition to Aurora State Airport, which is named in the legislation, that would create a mechanism to have private capital invested on privately owned dirt adjacent to the airport, and by a contractual agreement then figure out how those operators and airplanes can come literally through the fence to use the publicly owned asset of the airport. This is not, as the FAA has characterized it, a free ride for private business to come and use the publicly owned asset. The ingress and egress literally through the fence is established in contract. Fees are associated with it. I have been very clear on the record in advocating for what used to be Senate Bill 680 that in a former life I was a through the fence operator and paid the highest rate in the state of Oregon to literally come through the fence. We have examples of airports where companies within the next couple of weeks will be breaking ground on as much as a $15 million development of a new plant employing 100 people. They are coming from private property through the fence to use the asset, and they'll do so in a contract arrangement with the airport sponsor. This is simply to demonstrate that for dirt sitting fallow at a number of rural airports, particularly in eastern Oregon, there may be an opportunity to attract private entrepreneurial development capital for facilities to aid the airport in its economic development and create jobs. Very limited program. I'm surprised the fiscal is so high. I think this is a good opportunity for the realization of a, quote, public-private partnership and encourage the development of our rural airports.
Very good. Thank you for this legislation.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
We heard Senate Bill 680 in the Transportation Committee, and I want to give a lot of credit to Senator Johnson, who worked very, very hard on this bill to get it rid of the imperfections that she felt was in it. And now to Senate Bill 152, the North Bend Airport is just fortunately situated in a part of the Southern Oregon coast where there has been a tremendous development of world-class golf courses, creating a tremendous burden push on the air travel there at an airport that was certainly not able to handle that kind of air traffic. And the little terminal that is there right now will be very, very adequate for general aviation purposes. And so they've been working through the solutions team with a whole group of people in North Bend through the governor's office on working out their project. This is a long-time project. It is estimated to cost $32 million, but that's not what we're asking the state for. We're asking the state for $10 million in lottery funds. And what I think that there are tremendous merits to this bill. It is an omnibus airport bill, and I think that it has tremendous merit with both bills being put into it. I want to focus a little bit this afternoon, though, on how it would be financed. The Oregon Department of Economic Development testified before our committee about the possibilities of their involvement. And Mike Burton is here.
No, I don't think we need any more testimony, Senator. We've heard quite a little bit about this. More, less is more in this bill's case, because we're going to be done here in about 5 minutes.
Okay. All right. Well, all I was going to say was that he was here if you wanted to have any testimony. And they have certainly laid out a plan that would benefit them. There is another bill, House Bill 2174, that would probably need to move along to give them the ability to do the kind of work that they need to do financially for this bill. So,
sure.
Having said that, I'll
very good. Let it go. Thank you. Further discussion? Senator Morris.
Mr. Chair, thank you. This is totally an aside, if you'll allow me to just make an observation.
Brief aside is welcome.
The fiscal impact to amend the Aurora State Airport boundaries estimated to be $100,000 to $130,000, I think is an interesting commentary on our land use system as it applies to public agencies and private concerns that try to work within that system. So just an observation, Mr. Chair.
Very good. Thank you. I guess I'd make two observations respecting the two pieces of this bill that I think reflect well on this process, and that Senator Johnson's case, her really, really hard work to develop these public-private partnerships, I think that's a wave of doing things in the future, and Senator Johnson with the expertise and knowledge of the industry and how it relates to economic development in our state, I really appreciate the work she's done tenaciously to bring this bill forward. Also with regard to North Bend Airport, quite frankly. Senator Berger has brought us several iterations. She is unrelenting in pursuit of making sure this happens, and I appreciate that. There's not been a senator or a person, in my opinion, Senator, that's worked harder in this building for a piece of legislation that is critical, not just to her community, but frankly, the development of the whole South Coast. So I don't mean to cut anyone short, but I really appreciate what you've done here. It is outstanding, and hopefully your community realizes how hard you've worked in this whole endeavor.
Mr. Chair, before
yes.
you go to a motion, I want to declare a potential conflict of interest. A family member of mine is a through-the-fence operator. That airport will not be considered under this bill, but I just want to be clear on the record.
Appreciate that.
Mr. Chair, could I make
yes.
an observation? You know, I noticed we all do a lot of pontificating about jobs, job creation, economic development. I noticed that on your Transportation and Economic Development Subcommittee that four of the members involved, Senator Morris and myself on our manufactured housing bill, and Senator Johnson and Senator Berger on the North Bend Airport and through the fence operations, have really been involved in the only two jobs bills that could really be considered jobs bills this whole session. So compliments to your subcommittee, Mr. Chair.
I noticed you didn't mention me, but that's okay. No problem. I just
under the fine.
It doesn't get any jobs at all because I'm not there and they're going bankrupt.
Well, it's under your fine leadership.
Yeah, we look to you for inspiration and leadership.
Yeah,
that's exactly right.
Very, very nice. Any further discussion? Seeing none, any objections to these fine bills? Seeing none, so ordered. Senator Berger, you want to carry this one?
I would like to.
I can carry it at full, but you can at the floor.
I would like to. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Chair,
before we adjourn.
Mr. Chair.
Yes, sorry.
I would like to thank you for extending the courtesy to my young friend Peter Saracen, who worked for us today in the Senate and has been visiting his capital today. Thank you for letting him sit with the committee.
Absolutely.
Thank you very much.
Well, in fact, the newest and most distinguished member of our committee is the subject of my comment and concern.
Watch yourself, Peter.
Chief,
got 3 minutes, Senator.
Chief Fiscal Officer Ken Rocco was observing the floor session today and noticed that there was a lavish amount of money given to you for lunch, and what he's concerned about is, have you returned the change to your father yet?
Actually, on that note, I'd like to state that, in fact, since my dad joined me for lunch and paid for it, I not only did not have to return the change, but instead returned the full amount.
Whoa. We need him on this committee. We need him on this committee.
Very good.
I am folded, spindled, and mutilated. I withdraw in shame.
We'll adjourn the committee. Thank you all.
Good job, Peter.